All right. How we doing? Doing well? Well, it's great to be here. It's great to see all your faces. I hope you had a wonderful Christmas. Mine was awesome. I got to go down to Florida. It was about 80 degrees. It was nice. It only rained like one day, so it's good to be back, though. And I am excited for 2014. 2014 is going to be a great year. And I really want to take my walk with God to the next level. You know, 2013, the only reason why there was any success is because of God. You know, we had some great conferences this year. We had some great retreats. You know, people studied the Bible. There was baptisms. There was spiritual growth. It was an awesome year. Now, you could look back on the year, and no matter how 2013 was for you, don't forget the lessons that you learned. Don't forget the character and the hope that was produced in you. Don't look back and say, man, I should have done things differently. Because we have a clean slate right before us. We have a new year coming, and that's why it's awesome. Because we can start over. So I want us all to have a closer walk with God. I want us all to have a walk with God like never before. I want us all to do that. You know, over Christmas, I got to see a friend from high school and college that I haven't seen in several years. And it was really great seeing him. And when we saw each other, it was like we saw each other just the other day. You know, we didn't skip a beat. The conversation was flowing. It was awesome. And the reason for that is because we invested in our friendship. We stayed in contact with each other. We would email each other. We would pray for one another and call each other often. It took time. It took effort. I made a decision to be close to him and he to me. In order for us to have a walk with God like never before, it is going to require effort. It does not just happen on its own. It doesn't just appear out of thin air. It is going to require decisions, time, and energy. You will need to do things that you have never done before. And that means you're going to have to get a little uncomfortable at times, which is always good. But it is all worth it. It is all worth it. You will not be disappointed. You're not going to walk away with a closer walk with God and be like, you know what, that was really uncomfortable what I did. I don't like that. You're going to be happy. You're going to be grateful that you did things that you've never done before. Amen. The title of my lesson today is Like Never Before. Amen. I'm going to read, go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. And this is the things that we're going to have to do to have a relationship with God like never before. Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 1. In verse 1, it says, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual morality, or of any kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure. No immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. for it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything is exposed by the light, becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Make the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. This is an incredible passage. This is actually an incredible book right here. Over the last couple of weeks, I've been reading this passage every day, over and over. And I've been reading it in different versions. And so far, my favorite version is the Message version. You know, I'm not the biggest fan of the Message. It's really loosely translated. But I feel like I'm getting discipled when I read it. And so I'm going to read this in the Message, but we're going to break it down. Because point number one, in order for us to have a closer walk with God, we need to learn from God. This is from the Message. Watch what God does, and then you do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. Mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with Him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of Himself to us. Love like this. You know, God truly is our Father. He is our Dad. The Creator of heaven and earth is our Father. And He is inviting us to hold His hand and to walk with Him, to learn from Him, to imitate Him, to be like Him. The God who has all power, all authority, who knows everything, is inviting us to learn from Him. You know, if that doesn't fire you up, I don't know what will. God is saying, learn from me. Watch me. Do what I do. Hold my hand. When I was younger, I was like my dad's shadow. Whenever he was around, I would try to spend time with him. I would just follow him around. And I learned a lot of things from my dad. We would go backpacking on trips. We would go to Arizona. We would go to Colorado, California. We went down to Florida. I learned a lot of life lessons on those trips. My dad taught me how to do home repair, how to fix cars, how to push through pain, how to paint. He taught me things that really at my young age, I had no idea what they really meant. And I couldn't really do them. I learned how to shave before I ever had facial hair. I would stare at my dad and watch how he did. I would do the faces that he would make. You know, I felt connected to my dad because of that. And the real deep connection came when I could actually shave. When my car broke down and I could fix it. When I had a home and there's stuff that needed to be fixed and I could fix it. Because I could share with my dad. We can have stories together. And I look forward to doing that one day with my kid. And you know, that is how it is with God. We can read our Bible. We can read John chapter 12, verse 24, which says, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it will produce many seeds. We can understand that. We see that in life. But when you actually live that out, when you die to yourself, that is when you have a deeper connection with God. You are sharing with your Father. The stuff that He's been teaching us, the stuff that He's been showing us, and we actually live it out, that's when the real connection starts happening. That's when we're walking with our God. That is when we're imitating Him. We can read and pray and go to church, but that won't change anything. It's only when we imitate Him. It's only when we do what He does is when we will really know God and when God will really know us. So how do you read your Bible? Or maybe I should ask, why? Why do you read? Why do you pray? Is it simply to have knowledge so that you can pass a quiz? You know, I always get excited when Jeopardy comes on and there's a Bible section. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to get all those. But why do we read? It cannot be just to have knowledge and just be able to pass a quiz. It needs to be so that we imitate our God, so that we study Him, so we learn Him, so we can be His shadow, and that we can be like Him. We read and pray so that our hearts and minds will be like our God's. That we read and pray so that we will be like Him. We will think, we will act, we will love like Him. That is why we read. That is why we pray. This is going to take time for this to happen. This will take time. There is no replacement for time. Think about it. A 5-year relationship takes 5 years.
That's right.
Right? So don't go and spend 10 minutes with God and think you have this great relationship with Him. Don't just read your Bible and pray and not act on it and think, man, God and I, we're tight. He knows me and I know Him. We're good. Don't ask me about my life. Don't think those thoughts. Spend ample time with God. Spend a lot of time in the Bible. Many of us commute to work. Listen to the Bible while you drive. On top of what you read. Get up earlier. Pray more. Spend a day with God. Spend a day with Him. Push it, and let's not wait till the new year for this to happen. Okay, we got a couple days until 2014, but we can start today. Amen?
Amen.
So let's go after God like never before. And when you're with God, things become clear. And the reason for that is because you are in the light. I'm going to read again from the Message. Point number 2 is bring it to the light. Bring it to the light. It says, you groped your way through the muck once, but no longer. You're out in the open now. The bright light of Christ makes your way plain. So no more stumbling around. Get on with it. The good, the right, the true. These are the actions appropriate for daylight hours. Figure out what will please Christ and then do it. Don't waste your time on useless work, mere busy work, the barren pursuit of darkness. Expose these things for the sham they are. It's a scandal when people waste their lives on things they must do in the darkness where no one will see. Rip the cover off those frauds and see how attractive they look in the light of Christ. It was not long ago when I had no purpose in life, when I was completely lost in my sin. Think back to your life. What was it like? What was going on? How are you feeling? Was there any clarity? Now think about the freedom and relief you had when your sin was exposed. I mean, it was wonderful. You could actually talk about it. And people were listening and ready to help you. It was an awesome thing. So what about now? What sin needs to be exposed? Expose your sin like never before. There's stuff going on. We're imperfect people. So when you talk to someone about your imperfections, it's nothing new to them, right? Nothing new under the sun. We've all heard it. We've all probably done it. So expose it and finally see once again how disgusting and pointless it is. Because when you expose sin and you talk about it, that's when you see it. Because it's in the light. It's so easy for Satan to just warp your mind when you keep it in the dark. You're like, well, it's not that bad. There's people doing worse things. But we're supposed to compare ourselves to Christ. And when we compare ourselves to Christ, we just have to fall to our knees and weep and beg for forgiveness because we are flawed and imperfect. So bring your sin to the light and see how pointless it is. So the question is, what is stopping you? Because I'm not saying anything new that you haven't heard before, right? So what is stopping us from exposing our sin? What is stopping you? Is it fear? Is it comfortability? Is it you feel like you might be judged? I don't know what it is. You know, there was a business owner. He had a practice, and it was getting really large. So large that he had to expand. And after he expanded, he started hosting lectures because he was teaching others about his business model. And so his business is just taking off. The lectures are taking off. He doesn't have enough chairs. He's gathering chairs. He doesn't have enough room now. So he's trying to figure out what he can do. He's looking at other offices, buildings. He can't find anything. And then one Monday he comes in, and the office space right next to his is empty. The business that was there over the weekend, they shut down and left everything. And so immediately he gets his phone and he starts calling the agent, and no one picks up, so he leaves a message. He does this for several days and no one ever calls him back. So he says, "What's the worst that can happen? Maybe they'll charge me some rent." So he calls up a locksmith, has them unlock the building. He replaces the carpet. He paints the walls. He starts decorating. He buys more chairs. He set up some speakers, makes it real pretty, puts some plants in there, and hosts his lectures. This guy went after it. Some of us in this room are a little too comfortable. A little too comfortable. You have to take some risks sometimes. You know, what this business owner did was pretty risky. But we need to take some risks sometimes and get out of our comfort zone. Do something uncomfortable. Spiritually, I'm not saying go do something crazy, but spiritually, get uncomfortable and push yourself. Ask yourself, would you sell your couch and your TV to have your dream? Some of us spend too much time on there. We cannot also forget those who are still in the darkness. It's great for us to work on ourselves and get ourselves there. Sometimes we focus too much on ourselves. And we forget all the other billions of people who have no clue, who have no idea. There are millions of people in Atlanta who think they are right with God. And they are completely lost. And here we are, well, you know, I got to work on myself. And here, okay, got to do this and got to do that. And you're walking by people who are completely deceived, who have no idea what's going on. So do not forget about those who are still in the darkness. Help them. Care enough to show them Jesus. Amen. The world is hurting and lost. And simply share what you've been learning and what God has been doing in your life. That's all you have to do. It's not awkward. It's not weird. You talk to people about movies you saw or gifts that you got over Christmas. So just share with them what you've been learning. Amen. Like, man, I got to share this. I read this morning, and this is how it helped me. This is what it did for me. Ask people what you can pray for them about. Like, hey, I want to pray for you. Well, give me a list. And then pray for them and ask them about it. That will impact people. It's not weird. It's not awkward. Learn from Jesus and do what he did. He did not make it uncomfortable. It wasn't weird. So just do what he did. And the tricky part, there's an enemy out there, right? Satan is out there. Do not buy into his lies. Amen. Don't listen to him. There is real pain and suffering going on. Real pain. So don't buy into his lies saying, they're okay. They got it all together. Look at their house. Look at their car. Look at the way they dress. They don't want to hear it. They're fine. That's a person that's probably desperately desiring God. Satan is the father of lies. So whatever he is telling you, the opposite is true.
That's right.
He can only lie. So if he says that person is not open, you better believe they're open. And that is the exact person you need to talk to. You have to realize that God has chosen you as his instrument. He chose you as his instrument, as his tool. Are you sharp? Are you ready to be used and to be worked? Or are you hiding in the drawer? Set goals and put them before God. You have to set goals. You have to write them down. Pray very specifically about what you want to see God do. And watch what God does. When you pray specifically, God moves in specific ways. You pray broad, God be with me. Okay. Got that one done. But if you pray very specific, God, the guy with the red shirt on today, red shirt and khaki pants, bring him to me. His name is John. Just bring me John. And be like, hey, I'm Stephen. What's your name? John? John. Pray very specifically. Share your faith like never before. The world is lost. The world is hurting. They need stuff. They need God. My personal goal is to be abundantly fruitful in 2014. You know, I'm excited. I'm about to be a grizzly bear. So I'm going to be taking a class at GGC. Beginning soccer. So it's going to be awesome. But my goal is to talk to every single person in my class. Every single person. I don't know. I think there's 30 people. That's nothing, right? But that's my goal. I want you guys to spend some time over the next couple days. Just pray and set some goals. Put it before God and write them down. And pray about them every single day. Just spend some time just putting it before God. Goals that stretch your faith. If reaching 2 people a day, talking to 2 people a day, stretches your faith, then amen. If you're like, I already do that, then maybe 15 or whatever it is. Just set goals that stretch your faith. And the reason why we want to do this is because time is short. We are not promised tomorrow. Point number 3, time is short. Here it is from the message again. Wake up from your sleep. Climb out of your coffins. Christ will show you the light. So watch your step. Use your head. Make the most of every chance you get. These are desperate times. I'm 28 years old, and life is flying by me. I'm sure if I was 50, this year would have gone super fast. Time goes faster as you get older. And we have a new year ahead of us in a couple days. A year full of possibilities and opportunities. We have 12 months, 52 weeks, 365 days, 8,760 hours, 525,600 minutes, and 31,536,000 seconds. What are you going to do with all that time? How are you going to invest that time? How do you value time, really, is the question. Because things you value is things you cherish. So how do you value 1 year? Ask a student who failed a grade and now has to repeat it. Ask them how they value a year. How do you value a month? Ask a mother who had a premature baby. How do you value 1 week? Ask someone who works for a newspaper company. How do you value 1 hour? Ask someone who is terminally ill and waiting for a loved one who is late. How do you value 1 minute? Ask someone who missed a plane or a very important engagement that will never be rescheduled. How do you value 1 second? Ask an Olympian gold medalist or someone who just missed having an accident or someone saying goodbye to the loved one that they will never see again. Time is very short. Do not throw it away. Turn to Psalm 39. Psalm 39, starting in verse 4. This It says, "Show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting is my life. You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is nothing before you. Each man's life is but a breath. Man is a mere phantom as he goes to and fro. He bustles about, but only in vain. He heaps up wealth, not knowing who will get it. But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you. Save me from all my transgressions. Do not make me the scorn of fools." Life is short. It's sometimes described as a mist. And this one is described as a breath. We are not promised tomorrow, so the time to change is now. Right now. Value the time that we have. Don't waste it. Invest in the future. Live a life that you look back on and you are proud of. Do not have regrets. Do not look back and say, "I wish," or "I should have." Do the wish and should have now. Amen. Ask any financial advisor. The more risk, the more reward. Me, I'm swinging for the fences. I am not holding back. I will not be distracted anymore. I'm going to give it everything I have. Everything. Because time is too short. There are too many people out there. We have to open up our minds. Something that I realized is that God called us, human beings, to subdue the earth. He called us, his children, to subdue the earth. Our goal right now is Gwinnett County. Almost 1 million people. We are destined for greater things. He says, the whole earth. Guys, there are so many people. There's so much work to be done. We can't just sit here and not give everything that we have. There's too much at risk. So this is what we can do. All right? Decide to have a walk with God like never before. Set goals that stretch your faith. Pray about these every single day. Write them down and go after them. Don't stop until you have it. My goals? To make my wife radiant through prayer and washing of the word. To be abundantly fruitful in my outreach. To talk to every single person in my class. And to be a loving and sacrificial dad to our child who is due in July. Hey! By learning from God, bringing sin into the light, and making the most of our time, 2014 will be a year like never before. Amen. Amen. Thank you.